Privilege to be here at Macedonia Church. It's been a long time since I've been in a meeting with Macedonia. There's quite a difference in this building and the building that I remember. I pulled up on the yards and I couldn't help but observe the beauty of this place, and when I walked inside, it's a very beautiful place. But like that old song says, it wasn't built for show. It was built for God's people to meet and worship Him. I didn't know I would be called upon this afternoon, and I'd love to preach something practical because I've been studying that way for the past few days. But I'm going to have to go another way. The song that we just sang in the opening hymn would make a man want to preach on this. I want to read, first of all, a verse which is found in the first chapter of the book of the Revelation. I want to read the 18th verse. These are the words of Jesus when John was in the Isle of Patmos to receive this revelation from Jesus Christ. Verse number 18 of the first chapter of Revelation. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Now I want you to pay close attention to that verse. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Pray for us for a little while we try to look at these scriptures. Now, sometimes I have been known to get loud, but I promise you I'll try to behave in a rational manner. I want you to notice that these words, and I say this is the words of our Lord after he had ascended back to heaven. But I want you to think with me for a little while. These are also the words of a man. There's a lot of people when they think of God, I'm talking about especially in the world, the religious world in general. I'm talking about in the world of religion. There's only one religion. Pure and undefiled religion before God is to visit the widows and orphans in their afflictions and keep yourself unspotted from the world. But we have a man in heaven. I've done a lot of thinking about this, and I've looked at it much, and I'm sure I'm not bringing nothing new to you. But we have a man in heaven. And a lot of people looks at God and our Lord in this sense. They don't see him in this manner. They won't speak of him in this manner. But I'm going to tell you right now, we have a man in heaven.
Amen.
We have a man in heaven. Whenever we read these words that he says in Revelation 1:18, we understand by these words that there's been a change. There's been a change in some things. There's been a drastic change in some things. The Bible teaches us that we, and that is God's people, before they are quickened by God's Spirit, are dead in trespasses and sins. Now, this is not a death, which means that the soul just stopped being after God created man. But this death that I'm speaking of and that the Bible speaks of is a living, active death.
Yes.
What do you mean living death? It is an active death. It's an active death. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And he talks about the way we walked when we were in that. The way we walked.
Amen.
We all had our conversations in times past. That means our life. But we were apart from God. And that's the death that I'm speaking of. We are apart from God in nature. We were apart from God. Everyone who is quickened by God is not apart from God anymore. And never shall be apart from God anymore. Something has changed. Now in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 10. He speaks of our Lord who came into this world in verse number 9. He speaks of God's grace who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gives us as his children light upon what he has done for us. Now, I don't mean to lean this way too far, and I won't and not be that too much time, but there's a lot of people in this world would say, you know, the gospel brings life. Without the gospel. In other words, the gospel brings salvation to a man's soul in an eternal sense. The gospel brings light to what the Lord has done for us. As the old song says, he has shown us our Savior and scattered the night. Our night will pass away in him. The Bible says he hath abolished death. Now this active death that people are in nature. And we're all that way. Now, don't never think that you weren't a sinner. Now, I met some people in this world that thought they wasn't sinners, have you? I met some people in this world that they, you know. But we were sinners. We were sinners. I remember what it was the first time I ever felt God's convicting power upon my soul. Somebody said, no, I ain't God's people. I'm going to tell you something. When God awakens a sinner, there's conviction there. Do you know that? There's conviction there. There was a time in my own life when I felt like the hell was going to be my everlasting home in spite of all that I could do. There wasn't nothing I could do. And I went that way until I was given a hope in him and realized what my Savior had done for me. The Lord has abolished death. Death has been abolished. Jesus Christ, this man that I'm speaking of, came into this world. You know, and this is a mystery. And that's, if it wasn't a mystery, Paul said it. He said it was a mystery. He said, for without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. It's a mystery. It was a mystery when Paul said it. It's still a mystery. There's nobody can fathom that. There's nobody can fathom that mystery. Amen. They cannot do it. Nobody can fathom that. That God, Jesus Christ was the God-man. He was as much God as God is and as much man as any man here.
Amen.
To some people might doubt that, but no, he was. He felt the same thing that every man feels. Every temptation that's ever come upon men, the Bible says he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin.
Amen.
Now, sin came into this world how? It came into this world by man. Man. You can read of all the beasts of the field that God created, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea. But when God created man, this man raised a rebellious hand against God. The Lord told him what he could do, but he told him what not to do. He said, and in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, Adam didn't fall over dead physically the day that he ate that forbidden fruit. But he was separated from God. He was separated. Eternal death. I believe that there is a hell. The Bible teaches us that.
Yes.
And eternal death is being separated eternally from God. And some people says that'll never happen. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible says and teaches us that when the Lord comes again, there's going to be some which is eternally separated from him.
Amen.
In the book of Thessalonians, Paul said, And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be separated forever from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power. Man sinned. And the Bible teaches us, as by one man sin entered this world, and along with it came death, so that death passed upon all men. All men. All men in nature are dead. All men are sinners. Some men are not sinners. All men are sinners. It don't matter where you come from on the face of this earth. You're all sinners.
Amen.
I've seen a picture, if it's true or not. You know, you see a lot of things on the news, but somebody showed a picture. They said, look at the blue dot. This picture was taken billions and billions of miles away, they say, and this is the earth. It's a little bitty dot looking back at the earth. They do a lot of things. But you know what I thought? There's a lot of sinners on that place. They really are. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. Death passed upon all men. And the Bible says, since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead.
Yes.
For since by man... Man brought death into this world, and man had to pay. Jesus Christ, our Savior, became man that He might do that. Now, He was man. Now, He never did stop being God. And that's going back to that mystery. I can't understand. I can't explain that. You can't explain a mystery. The Lord Jesus Christ, God, and God, He's God in the flesh. But He came from heaven and was found in the womb of a virgin. But all this time, He never ceased to be God. Even while He was in the womb of the Virgin Mary, He never ceased to be God. When He was born and laid in a manger, He never ceased to be God. When He grew up as a boy, He never ceased to be God. When He grew up into manhood, when He died on the cross, He never ceased to be God, but yet He was truly man.
Amen.
This man died in our room and in our stead. It ought to have been us who died. But He died in our stead. He died to redeem us. And I'm going to tell you, salvation is all of God.
That's right.
It ain't part of God and part of man.
Amen.
You know what Paul said in the book of Romans whenever he was closing out the doctrinal section of that book? He said this. He said, and he was talking about, now we know that God created the worlds regardless of what the atheists and the heathens and anybody else says. God created this world. And by the way, man didn't come from a monkey either. God made man out of dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, I could be funny and say if you want to see a bunch of monkeys, you could take a look at Congress and you could probably find some. But we didn't come from a monkey. God made us. He made us.
Amen.
He created us. You cannot explain a mystery. But yet the Lord Jesus Christ died in our room and in our stead to redeem us. Salvation is all of God from beginning to end. Paul said, for of Him, through Him, and to Him are all things. And he's talking about pertaining to salvation of men. Now, hurriedly, I could say, You know, salvation by grace has been fought ever since it began to be preached. Them poor old Judaizers in the New Testament you read about, they must have lived a miserable life. Those people that believe, it didn't stop when the New Testament stopped being rolled either. It didn't stop. Whenever Paul the Apostle had preached the gospel and came back to Antioch from where he had went, he'd been to another place, to Antioch in Pisidia, but coming back to Antioch in Syria, he was there for a good while. They were some old boys came down from Jerusalem to this church at Antioch in Syria, and they looked over and said, "Now fellas, y'all been talking about being saved by God's grace. That ain't good enough. Unless you're circumcised and keep the law of Moses, you can't be saved." Now they said that. And the tenor of that has not stopped since. There's people in the world today saying, if you don't do this or if you don't do that, you cannot be saved. You can't be saved. But we are saved by God's grace by His quickening power. He has made us alive. We were dead. And the dead cannot talk, they cannot walk, they cannot speak, they cannot hear, they cannot spell. There's nothing they can do. You can talk to a man dead all day and he'll never move.
Amen.
Now he's active in death. He's walking according to the course of this world till he's quickened. But they were the change made. Jesus said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." That tells me he abolished death. He done away with it. I'm talking about for God's people. He abolished death.
Amen. Lord.
And one of the greatest evidences in a person's life that they are a child of God is found in the book of John. We know. Now, don't you notice that? We know.
That's right.
It ain't something you speculate. But it's no. We know we have passed from death unto life. We're dead. And Paul talks about in the book of Titus, at that time in our life, we were full of envy, hating one another, living ungodly. And I'm going to tell you something. I wanted to talk about, you know, the Bible teaches us that God's people ought to be godly people. You know that? The Bible teaches us that we ought to be godly people. But death has been abolished. You say, "I'm going to die in the flesh." Yeah, this flesh is going to die. But our conversation, and here this word conversation means life. If we have passed from death unto life, and we have in Him. Mm-hmm. We have in Him.
Amen.
The lawful captive, and we were held captive lawfully. Mm-hmm. But the lawful captive has been made free. Been made free. He hath abolished death. That means done away with it. Destroyed it. I live, and because I live, Jesus said, "Ye shall live also." Ye shall live. Our conversation, and that word conversation again means life. And the Bible says, for our conversation is word. In the flesh? Well, we're living in the flesh, aren't we? But our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, who shall do what? Change our vile bodies and give us a body fashioned like unto His glorious body. To be caught up with Him. To live with Him forever and ever. Jesus Christ died in our room and in our stead. He justified it. The Bible tells us that we're justified by His grace. It all stemmed from God's grace. But the Bible says we're also justified by His blood. We're justified by faith. We're justified by works. Now these don't contradict each other. The Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood. He died. He felt death for us. He felt death. There's no way, and I'm going to hurry and close. There's no way that we could ever know. There's no way that we could ever know what our Lord went through to bring life to us. The Bible says He tasted death. He tasted death. You remember the words of our Lord as He hung on the cross? The Bible says from the 6th to the 9th hour, while He hung on the cross, there was darkness over all the earth. And at some point during this time, the Bible says that He cried with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I have no righteousness of my own. You have none. The only righteousness that we have is the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, which He imputed unto us. We are saved. We are justified by His imputed righteousness. He didn't. This man, Jesus, lived the perfect life. He lived the perfect life of obedience. He was obedient in all things. He was perfect in all things. He honored the law of God. And He died in our room and in our stead, and rising again, we with Him, because He is our life. He is our life. Our conversation is in heaven. He abolished death. This body's going to die. I ain't going to say this enough. I think sometimes, I change a lot of my thinking from a young man to as I get older. I'm sure there's been a lot of people lived to be an old age that suffered in this world. Pain in the body. Loneliness. That welcomed death when it come. That welcomed it. The body don't look forward to dying though. The body don't. That is when you're strong. But I believe when that hour comes, He'll give His children dying grace. Amen. They'll put them in the ground. But it ain't over. Paul said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. It ain't over. Amen. Their body may sleep in the dust of the earth, and we're all going to sleep there if the Lord don't come back in our lifetime. Right. But you know something? I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and because I live, you shall live also. The same voice that brought life to a dead soul. They shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Amen. The same voice that brought life. The same voice that spoke life will one day enter the dark portals of the grave and say, "Get up." And they'll get up. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. May the Lord bless you.